Hello and welcome to the Soccer Speakeasy. Today, let me check the date. Today's Thursday, May 9th. The Crew finally snapped their losing streak last night over the LA Galaxy with a 3-1 win. I'm joined in the studio with Kyle Robertson, who was at the game last night shooting photos for us. I'm Jacob Myers, Crew SC beat writer. Mike Arace is not in studio today.
Boo.
And I'm pretty sure he's well, but he's not here with us and we don't know where he is, but he's well.
He has work to do.
Yeah, he's always got work to do. And then there's Patrick Flaherty, always behind the controls. We'll just kind of jump right into it. Starting from last Saturday, we talked about how the Crew were trying to use a moment that they just frankly felt the game was kind of robbed from them and trying to use that to galvanize going forward and get some wins and points. And I mean, Caleb Porter said as much after the game. Kyle, just what did you kind of see? Did it look like a different Crew team out there with just their aggressive playing style? Obviously, that getting that first goal and it staying on the board was a huge thing. And I think from there, you just really kind of saw a different team.
Yeah, I thought they were attacking a lot more. And, I think that they knew that they had to do something, you know, last night. They knew that they had to get some points and they had to get some offense going. And I think that, in the first half, they, you know, were really pressing it and really kind of moving it forward. And they continued it throughout the game. And I think that's one of the biggest things in the last, you know, five or six games is the consistency of the attacking. And also, I thought the crosses were looking a lot better, this game than the previous, you know, three or four games.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think you saw the score, where they scored from. I mean, that first ball from Robinho was just gorgeous. I'm not convinced that it would not have gone in on its own, but Zardes just got the tiniest of touches, and that's kind of how he needs to score goals too, and that's how they want to use him. And we can get more on like the wingers and what Caleb Porter likes in them, and we'll break down the game a little bit more, but I think we should start with just how active the Crew were during this primary transfer window. And I mean, talking to Caleb Porter and Tim Bezpachenko, the Crew president as well, I think this 5-game losing streak, they both said they're big believers in you learn more about yourself when you're losing games than when you're winning. And I mean, how we kind of talked about and I went back on last week, they look like a really good team, but they were only scoring really off set piece goals and not in the run of play. So that kind of masked some issues that they had in that respect. And their defense was shutting down games, and then later it wasn't. So I think that really kind of propelled them to make some moves.
I just think that you're starting to see, you know, with these moves, you know, what Porter kind of wants. I mean, I think they were late in the game to kind of get the, you know, the coach that they wanted and kind of get things going. So I think they were a little behind the ball, you know, I think in the off season of what they kind of wanted to do, and the fact that they had such, you know, a lot of pieces back and there wasn't a whole lot of changeover. So I think it was one of those situations where you kind of let it play out. Let's see, you know, the players that we had from last year and a couple, you know, new ones here and there, but just see kind of how they kind of fit with what Caleb wanted to do. And obviously some issues and some inconsistencies with, you know, some players, and so I think now, you know, like you said, the 5-game losing streak kind of forced the issue a little bit, I think maybe sooner than what they kind of anticipated. And then they, you know, you start to see some, you know, former players that they brought in, some different attacking, you know, to kind of change things up, to give them a little more speed on the wings. So I think, you know, if they would have won a couple of these games, you maybe not have seen it until maybe, you know, the other transfer window opens up and, you know, Zach's obviously, you know, gets sent out and, you know, then. But I think they had to. Their hand was forced. They needed to change something up because obviously what they had wasn't working.
Yeah, and we'll get into all that. And like you said, yeah, Zach Steffen, his final game, I believe, is going to be June 1st, which will be here because the Gold Cup kind of starts after that. And then by the time that finishes up, you'd assume the U.S. would go pretty far, and I think it would be in July by that time, which is when he likely would report to Manchester City for preseason before he's likely loaned out elsewhere. We'll get into that, and just for a brief...
Why don't you recap what's kind of what happened?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I was going to get into. So, well, I guess it kind of started Friday when the Crew gave away more money to get less money, which on its face didn't seem like a good deal, but you know, it's they're applied for different roster rules. I'm being sarcastic. They gave away 300,000 in TAM to the Galaxy for 225,000 in GAM. I could have mixed those up, but I think that's right. But as far as the acquisitions of players and whatnot, David Guzman, like you said, a former player for Portland, was there brought on to Portland in 2017. And I even went back and looked. One of Caleb Porter's first acquisitions at Portland was a former Akron player. So you talk about him bringing in players that he likes. And of course, there were those Nagbe rumors earlier. So I think maybe that just kind of happens when you get a coach that's been around the league for a while. But he shores up some depth in the midfield. And you saw him when he was brought on in this game against the Galaxy. The Crew kind of switched to a little 4-3-3. Yep. And I mean, really, they didn't need a ton up top. I think they just wanted a guy going at that 10 for Higuain. One, to get Higuain off after he contributed a lot, maybe limit his minutes, save up his legs. And you get a guy who just can possess the ball, who can move the ball, and that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, I really liked his activity, you know, on the right side and the left side and in the middle. You know, he was all over the place, and I know, you know, you want to kind of do well on your first, you know, your first appearance. He did have one bad pass that he kicked it, you know, right out, you know, out of bounds on the right side, I think around the midfield. But yeah, I thought he was, you know, he brought in a little bit of energy that I think the, you know, that you'd like to see in a sub that you haven't seen recently. And I think moving forward, you know, having him, you know, be able to come in and kind of change the formation if needed is, I think, a real kind of a curveball, per se, that they can throw out, and that he can kind of change things up. Because I believe we've talked about this before. The new Portland coach said that they're too predictable and they knew exactly what they're doing.
Right.
So, you know, maybe it's a start of kind of changing something up, but I like the ability to bring him in. And then also, you know, you're probably going to lose some time with Trapp when he leaves. So, I mean, he can kind of be inserted into there and kind of, you know, play some big minutes.
Yeah, and that's something.
Or if he leaves.
Or if he leaves, absolutely. And I believe, I mean, like, David Guzman's played for Costa Rica in the World Cup, so I would think
I believe he played all three.
Yeah, so I would think he's possibly going to play in the Gold Cup. Who knows? But moving forward, but yeah, it definitely gives them some depth, and that's something that I think they realized through this losing streak, and when they've rotated against Philadelphia, against Houston, and now they're at the end of another 3 games in 8 days. Maybe they rotate, maybe they don't, but they have more depth, and that's something they need to address. And they, I think they did pretty well in this transfer window. So a few other moves, and they only got him for an international roster slot, so which I believe I saw somewhere was valued at like $150,000 in allocation money. So pretty good move if you're going to shore up your depth there. Yep. And then Justin Miram was shipped off to Atlanta United. You know, he's a guy I think people really, really were rooting for him to resurrect his career again here. Like we had mentioned, he was only a couple of years removed from double-digit goals in a season. Just didn't seem to fit in with Caleb Porter's system. I think it has to do with Pedro Santos kind of being like a pocket winger.
Right.
Almost, he's not a guy that plays behind the line. So, you know, I hope it works out for him. I think people are rooting for him, but
yeah, I think Crew fans really thought that, like you said, that he would bring back the magic, you know, from the last couple years. And you know, you thought that maybe on that international break in March when he had the big goal, you know, for his team, that you thought that, like, that might have been like the start of it. But you know, he just couldn't figure. You know,
he wasn't even on the 18th.
Yeah,
at DC.
So it just kind of, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they brought him back and then just didn't quite fit what he wants to do. And so we'll see if, you know, he can kind of jumpstart, you know, his career again and you know, get some minutes and hopefully, you know, he can start scoring some goals. So
right. And they got some general allocation money there, $100,000. And then what I think was a really strong acquisition. And
wait, did the crew take most of his salary, though? Did it all transfer over?
I didn't see to that level. I know he's carrying more than what he might be valued for, so I'm not entirely sure. But
we'll figure that out later on when they release everything.
Absolutely. And David Akam was a big acquisition, I think. Maybe not a guy who, you know, he's not a DP-level winger, but a guy who has scored, I believe, 38 goals and only 5 since he went to Philadelphia, so kind of in the Miram boat in terms of a guy who showed a lot of promise and hasn't as of late. But I mean, he is one of the fastest players in MLS, and he can get behind that line, and that's what Caleb Porter said he liked about it, is you have a pocket winger in Pedro, and now you have a guy who can run in behind the line, and it can even open some space for Jossie in the middle.
Well, yeah, that's the important thing, is, you know, when you have someone that fast and you're going down the wings, you know, for Zardes, you know, he'll be able to make his runs, and then you can't really double team him, you know, because he'll be running to the ball or running to a spot where now in the buildup, you know, if it's not as fast, you know, they can bring over the other person. As you can see, they kind of been double teaming him a lot. So to have that guy come down, and hopefully he can cross it in, you know, like, because that's been one of the other big issues with this team. But yeah, I think it's just going to create a lot more opportunity for him to be able to get to the spot where he needs to be to score those goals. Because, you know, when you have that, because, you know, you can't basically double team him. I mean, you can try to double team him, but then there'll be the backside guy open. But still, it creates a little bit of an issue when you're trying to cover him, and especially, you know, he's so good at the crosses, you know, when they're coming in, a lot of his goals have been within about 8 to 10 feet of the goal. So, you know, hopefully that can kind of change things up and give them something else. And another guy who can bring an energy and a spark. Like I said, I don't think the guys they've been having, you know, the Mullins, the Sosa, all these other the guys who've been coming in as subs, has kind of brought that energy and kind of like
the 11,
yeah. Sometimes you need, you know, if you're down a goal or if you need something. And I think they have two guys that kind of just hopefully will just kind of, you know, have a spark, per se.
The 11 was always going to have to get it done with this team. And now I think these are guys like David Akamo or David Guzman. You can get better players than them, but then you have them on the bench and you have a really strong depth. And this is something that took Caleb Porter a little bit of time to develop in Portland. Look, if you go back and look at his roster he had in 2015, almost all those guys are starter level quality, if not with Portland, right, with other teams. So I think it's going to take a little bit of time to develop. It's not like European leagues where you can just add great, right, players year after year.
Well, I think the other thing is, like you said about adding the depth, is you can kind of change either the formation or the style depending upon who you're playing, in which I don't think they really could have really done that with the depth that they had. They had to play a certain way in a certain style. But I think now with a couple extra pieces, they can kind of tweak it a little bit, per se, and kind of move it around. And, you know, depending upon what team you're going up with, like the formation, you can kind of slightly tweak it and still be able to kind of do what you want to do.
And that's exactly what they did when they brought on Guzman in this game, going to a 4-3-3. So, yeah, I think this just gives the Crew a lot of different options for things they want to do. And also a big thing they tried to do is shore up some depth now, make sure you can win in these windows, especially when you're going to have players away with the Gold Cup and whatnot, while also positioning, yep, yourself well for the summer. And I asked Tim Bezbachenko this directly, if they wanted to get a designated player the summer, and they said they're looking at it.
Now, is it a real DP that, or is it a DP that they can buy down with GAM or TAM?
See, in the same, great question, but in the same breath, he said, our current DPs, now they do have a spot open because Milton Valenzuela is on the season-ending injury list.
But he's a young DP.
Yeah. So I think it's when they're 24, yeah, I want to say, is when they're off the young DP list, and I think he's 20, going on 21.
Right.
But, you know, some people have compared that MLS roster rules to, it's easier to understand the U.S. tax code. So I think people should read the roster rules for themselves. But nonetheless...
But there are certain DPs, and then there's DPs, like, you know, you can buy down, I think, pretty much everyone on the Crew roster, and, you know, with TAM and GAM.
And that's exactly what he said. And Pedro Santos and Higuain, who are the current DPs, they can be converted to TAM, mm-hmm, and, I mean, which would open it up for the Crew to get three designated players. I think that's probably a small possibility, but I would be surprised if they didn't add another designated player this year. That might be, you know, the one who makes the most on this team. David Akam was a designated player, but he was taken off that in Philly, and Bezbachenko said the same here. He's going to be a targeted allocation money player. And just a brief kind of breakdown of how that works. The maximum charge on the salary cap is $530,000 for a player. The designated players, let's take a player who makes $2 million. So that difference of, you know, $1.5 million or so, if they're a designated player, it doesn't have to be allocated with like targeted allocation money. It's just paid by the team. And there's pools of allocation money. You can acquire them in trades. That's what the Crew did. Now, if like David Akam, who is a targeted allocation money player, he's making, as of last year, was like $1.3 million. So that difference of 800,000 or so is all TAM. So that's just kind of how that works. So if the Crew are going to buy down Pedro
Santos. He has another year left too, right? Another year on his contract?
Believe so. Yeah. So if they're going to buy down or make them into TAM players, Pedro Santos and Higuain, that's how that would kind of work. But yeah, I think this was a really strong transfer window for them. They gave away $500,000 in allocation money for a COM and an international roster slot. Again, it positioned them for making a move in the summer. If they make it, we'll see. Tim Bezpachenko didn't make any promises that they would. Yep. Of course, I think they're just going to be smart about it. Yep. And that's what we've talked about. They're not going to make any big, drastic decisions. But if they see an opportunity, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a winger either, just I think they just want a good attacking player.
Someone to score, I think.
Exactly. But. Just someone who can get scoring chances and get in the box there. So, I mean, how did you kind of think they did in this transfer window? Certainly the five-game losing streak changed things.
Yeah, I think it forced their hand. They had to make decisions and move on from some players that they might have, you know, if they were winning and kind of, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, for say, they probably would have held on to, but they needed to make changes. And then you forgot about Boubacar.
And Boubacar. He was...
Sorry, it just popped in my mind.
No, you're fine. Yeah, that, I was going to mention it.
Yep. But, yeah, I think they needed to do something because, you know, some of those early points that they banked early on the season, you know, was really helpful during this, you know, five-game losing streak. But, you know, you can't go 7, 8, 9, 10 games without, you know, a win. So, I mean, I think it's smart, and I'm starting to kind of see kind of what Caleb wants and kind of like the team that he wants. And I think he wants to play a little bit faster than Greg's
old possession teams. With yeah. purpose. And not saying that right. Berhalter wasn't that way, right. but I think
well,
that's
then,
where that aggressiveness
right, but then you
comes
also
in.
Lose Offal and Milton, who are pretty fast down the wings too. So yep. it kind of makes him less, you know, and it's Absolutely. Not like in the middle they're super fast with I mean, you know.
No,
but yeah.
You make all good
yeah,
points. I mean, I think that puts like a wing back as a possible DP
yeah.
on the not necessarily the wish list,
right.
but something you might look at if they can get a great player for good value. I think yeah. that's a position you can do.
I still think they need to go after someone who can score goals. I mean,
they're looking at attacking midfielders for
you
sure.
You can't just have, you know, your lead guy have 19 and everyone else have like 4 or 5 or, you know, you need to have another horse.
Yep.
You know, up there and you need to have someone else who can take the pressure off him and you know, free up other people to kind of make, you know, to basically be one-on-one. But I mean, that's just, but you know, who knows what's going to happen, and you know, maybe they bring in a goalie, or you know, who knows. So maybe something crazy happens, but I think Crew fans will be happy knowing that, you know, if an opportunity arises to acquire someone that they can. But I think it, like you said, it has to be the right situation and the right player that kind of fits what they want to do.
I think that means something different for this ownership group.
Yep.
This
speaking of the ownership
office.
Group, they were there.
But yes, the Haslam family was there. Presented Federico Higuain, or were in the locker room when Caleb Porter presented Federico Higuain with the ball when he became the club's all-time assist leader. He got a 62nd last night on a secondary assist.
When did they start counting secondary assists?
It's funny, you look at like the box score that was handed to us and he doesn't have an assist on it. So I don't know if
I know
that's
in hockey
like,
they do the secondary assist.
I'm very, very pro yeah. secondary assist. I mean
anything for more stats so they can get paid more, right?
Yeah. I mean, look at Higuain's goal. Maybe he should got a secondary assist on his own goal.
Yeah.
But
he passed it to himself.
to wrap up the acquisitions and moves there. Lalas Abubakar, as you mentioned, yep. center back, was loaned out full season to the Colorado Rapids for $125,000 in TAM. Good for him to get some yep. playing time. They're extremely deep at center back. Bezpachenko said yep. he expects Abubakar yep. to still be back after he's loaned here. So good for him to get some playing times. I yep. think they're going to periodically check in on him. But we can just move forward with the kind of run down the game a little bit. Zardes, Higuain, and Jimenez had goals there. They needed one early in that second half when they yeah. went in with a 1-0 lead. Caleb Porter said they kind of let the foot off the gas. And I just think yeah. you saw a different aggressiveness with this team. And you kind of saw it when they scored that, when Santos scored the goal yeah. against DC United before it overturned. I think we're still, you know, it's a breakthrough in the time being. Will three goals be the norm? Time will tell. I don't think any of us kind of believe that right now, but maybe this is kind of a turning of the tide.
I thought the defense was, they played particularly well, especially
who Zach had a huge save.
Yeah, especially who they were going up against. And I thought they did a real good job of double teaming him and making sure that he wasn't getting into open spaces on a lot of the crosses and the corner kicks. Now they did allow the one goal on the set piece where the guy was just wide open backside and just kind of tapped it in. So, but I think Zach kind of it looked like I forget who went up, but it looked like it was almost like going to be a header, and then it just went just over like two guys' head. So I don't know if it was like a matchup where they didn't, or a marking issue where they didn't have someone matched up. But I mean, he had the whole backside open, but it was easy, kind of a tap in. But I think it was just a position where he kind of thought that they were going to head it in the middle, and then all of a sudden it just kind of skidded or just went over, and then nobody was backside for the Galaxy goal.
I think set pieces is still a work in progress. Yeah. As good as it was early, I mean, you saw there was one on the corner before the Crew got their first goal that they failed to clear, and it looked like Galaxy was going to get a set piece goal, but a soft one at least. So that's still a work in progress. But what you saw is the Crew were opportunistic. Yep. They got, you know, those fortunate bounces, like when Jimenez passed to Zardes and it was deflected, but it kind of rolled right to Jimenez. So he finished it off, and that was even deflected and still found its way.
But I thought they were very aggressive on the defensive side. They didn't let them attack a whole lot, you know, from my perspective.
No, I think you're right.
I in the first half, I was shooting more of the defense. I was trying to get some nice photos of Zach. And, of course, he made all the big saves in the second half when I was shooting offense. But it looked to me that they had a game plan, and they had a game plan to neutralize the big guy. And I thought they did a really good job, and I thought he was getting a little frustrated. But they played him really well. So.
Yeah, if you get out of a game with Zlatan not getting an assist or a goal, I think that's pretty solid. Yeah.
But they had like two people on him a lot of the night.
And that was why they put in Gaston Sarro.
I mean, he was very aggressive. I mean, I thought he might have clipped him early on in the first half, where he kind of slid and kind of kicked the ball away. I thought he would have gotten a call.
Zach like took him down.
Yeah. I got the good picture of him kind of like looking at him with his hands up, you know, kind of all the Crew fans like that one, that he was like bowing down to Zach. But yeah, I think Zach got there just in time, and then but kind of got him a little bit after he kind of pushed the ball away.
I was surprised they didn't look at it.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's one of those kind of like, you know, tie kind of goes to the goalie, I think, kind of like in baseball, the tie goes to the runner.
Yeah. Which is not actually a rule, yeah. I will say. But I think we'll touch on this just briefly, since the professional referee organization put out a statement on Ted Uncle's call against the Crew against DC United. The organization said that not only was it the incorrect call, there was not a foul, it should have been a play on, and Santos' goal should have stayed on the board. Also, it shouldn't have even been looked at. So here is kind of the issue with VAR as it stands right now. And Caleb Porter is pro VAR, as he said after the game. It adds a lot to the game. But you see this in a lot of other sports. You're just never going to take the human error out of it.
Yeah, you see that in hockey a lot. You challenge everything. And the other day
with the hit that could have been you know, a game misconduct,
Anderson,
or what have you.
And then the debacle in the San Jose Sharks and the Vegas Golden Knights, where they got a five-minute, you know, major penalty, and they scored four goals to come back and basically...
Was it game seven?
Yeah, or game six, but it was pretty much a...
Elimination.
Yeah, elimination for them, so...
Yeah, so,
it might have been game seven. I don't know, I forget.
What did you think of... Did you watch the DC game or get to see that call?
Yeah, I watched a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I watched the highlights. Obviously, I was shooting some CBJ that that night. But yeah, it was a weird... It was like a bang-bang kind of call, and it was just a bizarre... You know, but I think, like I said, I think the VAR, and just like in hockey, you know, it 95% of it's good. You know, you want to make the correct call, you want to be right, but there's also these like little incidences where these things come up, and you have to figure out a better way. And a lot of this stuff will be worked out probably in the off season about what you can challenge and what and that kind of stuff. And like I said, it's just a learning process. I mean, it's the same way in the NFL. What's a catch? What's not a catch? You know, you change the rules. Everything kind of changes, you know. So, I mean, I'm all for it. I think it does the game. You know, you don't ever want to, you know, lose, you know, when you actually do score, you know, nowadays with technology. And just like in tennis, they started this whole thing with the, you know, I think it's called a Nighthawk or whatever, the how they have have these cameras on the line and you can challenge it. You know, it's the tennis ball is 120 miles per hour or 140 miles per hour.
Well, then soccer has the goal line tech.
Right. But then they instantly, it'll tell you if it's in or out, like, because they have all these lasers and everything. But it tells, I mean, you know right away. And did it take time? Yes, it took time. But I think overall, I think this technology is better for all sports. Now, like I said, there are a few circumstances, you know, and you don't want to challenge every single play, but they're, you know, it's unfortunately there's some bad, and this is kind of the bad, and hopefully they learn from it and can address this and make sure that something like this doesn't happen again.
Was there more contact with the official or Will Traff on Acosta's part? we'll just say it's a ref and move on. I love that tennis replay thing. Oh, that's half the reason I watch it.
It's instantly too. It's so fast. Like, they just know it. So,
So we'll move forward from that. But the Crew play Saturday again. Finally end their losing streak. They play at 7:30 against LAFC, who's currently ahead in the Supporters Shield race with 24 points, 7-1-3.
Another big time goal scorer,
Carlos Vela. I think you would say he's the leader for in the league MVP race right now. Yeah. 26 goals for the team right now in 11 games. This is going to be a fun one to watch. Yeah. and definitely a big test. Caleb Porter called it David and Goliath. I think that's more talking about the large and small right. market type deal. But we have some questions from you fine folks, so we'll kind of move forward with that. Start with, rank your favorite MLS trade assets. A player, Gam Tam, a draft pick, international roster spot, and then there's a few others that are just insane.
I guess maybe
it took me a week to understand what Gam and Tam were, for the record.
Maybe the Tam might be, you know, I but maybe slightly over the player, just because you can buy down, you know, a DP slot, because I think that's pretty important.
It's a little more sexy.
Yeah. But the other ones are so... I mean, draft picks are hard because it takes a while, and usually you don't...
Get allocation
normally
money
get,
over a draft
yeah,
pick.
And normally you don't, you know... I mean, it's been a while, but, you know, a draft pick, it comes out to be like a superstar here in the MLS. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the TAM probably, just because of what you can do with it. But, you know, maybe the young DP slot in the future, because you can flip them, and you know.
Well, you can't trade DP.
Well, but I meant like you can use that money for that stuff, for to get like a young like DP, because in right. theory they want you to buy young talent that later on to sell up to, you know.
Yep, so, turn it around and invest. Yep.
But yeah, I don't, you know, international slot.
Well, here's one right at you, Kyle.
Uh-oh.
How many shots do you take during a game to get the 25 to 25 in photo galleries?
All right, well,
just say 25 and we can move on.
I'm not that good. Well, last night, it was a little bit less because I was shooting the defense the first half, because I wanted to try to get some nice pictures of Zach before he left.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have two cameras set up in the goal to try to capture him making an incredible save, which he did in the second half, but I didn't have any cameras in there. So I had four cameras last night, and I think I had about 2,500 shots between the four of them. And I tend to edit a little bit tighter than most, so you know, I could probably put 40 or 45 photos into that. Into the slideshow, but I kind of, you know, got it down to about 25 or so. So yeah, so 2,500 shots for 25 photos.
There you go.
So,
any ideas or updates on the post Stefan goalkeeper situation? I addressed this a little earlier this week. I spoke to Tim Bezbachenko, and I encourage you to read. I have a story up on dispatch.com and follow us at Dispatch Alerts about just what their kind of thought process was through this whole transfer window, getting the players that they got, making the moves they did, giving Miram away for some allocation money to better position themselves. specifically on the goalkeeper, I think it's as simple as kind of what we've been saying. And I think people might be interpreting it the wrong way. They don't think that Joe Bendik or John Kempen or even like Ben Lundgaard, maybe, I don't know as much on him, but in USL, they don't think they're like long-term solutions. It's difficult, and I think you can just flat out say you're not going to find a Zach Steffen right now.
Right.
So for what they have, if Joe Bendik plays well, they're gonna just ride that performance.
Yep.
If they do find someone and can spend smartly, get them in here, I think you ideally want to find an American and not take off up an international international roster spot.
Well, they have extra. I mean,
one right now. You can always trade for him though. Absolutely. But I think you're not going to get a huge signing for a goalkeeper.
Right.
If Bendik plays well, they're going to play him. If not, I think they're going to try to address it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I think you'll see, you know, like you said, I think it's something maybe towards the beginning of next year or even...
But right now it's addressed.
Right.
If he doesn't play well, they're going to look to address that.
Yep.
Did Porter mention any specific changes of emphasis on the attack against the Galaxy? I don't think so. Like we said, it's just being more aggressive makes a big difference.
Right.
And all these goals were scored differently. One was fortunate in the box.
Yep.
The first one was a great cross, not from the side, more from the top.
Yep.
And it's difficult for a goalie to read a ball that is kicked. I believe it was his right foot.
Yep.
So it's like bending toward the keeper. It's a little difficult to read on the depth. So it got him to stay home and Sardes finished it. And then a nice give and go. So I just think it was more aggressive, different things. Just to wrap it up, we'll go with this last question from @SaveSoccer. Have D and Jimmy Haslam already been to more games than Anthony Precourt? And do you anticipate a lot of changes to get to the game on Saturday with another short week? Porter almost revealed his cards a bit when he said, you know, will we change? Maybe we won't make a lot of changes. And then he paused a little bit and said, but we're going to keep our cards close to our chest.
But I think
to his point, they have proven, and DC had the same window and played all their players. I think the Crew can do it, and I wouldn't be shocked to see just like a Josh Williams in for Gaston Saro, maybe one or two other changes. If David Akama, expect him to be on the 18, maybe Davi Guzman starts, maybe Akama starts.
Yep.
So those are some changes, but... Was it five?
I'd like to see him in trap in the middle.
Yeah, that would be interesting. That'd be interesting. Now, how many games, if you remember, and this might be more of a Mike question, had Precourt been to?
Well, it was...
You could count it on one hand.
Yeah,
right?
I would say maybe five or six.
I mean, he
showed up a lot, you know, because I remember him being at a couple of the signings when he had somebody come over. You know, they had a little news conference before the game. But then towards the end, it wasn't very much. Like, he came to one of the playoff games. And, you know, that was
about it. He was in Toronto as well in 2017?
Yeah, but I think it was more he'd come to the away games, but that's something you'd have to ask Mike or try to catch up with. But, yeah, not very often.
I'll say this about the Haslams. Their presence has been extraordinarily felt. If it's not D or Jimmy, and it's more so maybe I just don't see him, but I've definitely seen JW, I believe it's their son, right?
Yeah.
Or
I think so, yeah.
Well, anyway, a part of the Haslam ownership group, they're there.
Yeah.
D and Jimmy were both in D.C. They were here last night against the Galaxy. They might have already surpassed it.
Now, after the game, I was walking kind of behind them because I had to pick up my goal cameras.
And Dr. Pete's always there.
Yeah, from the south goal. So I walked behind them while they were, you know, heading down to the tunnel. And a lot of fans stopped, and D especially was shaking hands and... You know, a lot of the fans are saying, thank you very much, thank you very much. And so I think they're embracing it, and I think that's something that Crew fans aren't used to. Because even when the Hunts were here, I mean, they weren't here, for say. You know, they were, you know, maybe in the very beginning, but towards the end, you know, you saw the Sun, more, because he was kind of the day-to-day operations, and I forget when Lamar actually passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd add that's something Mike would probably know. But I think... Just having them around is just a sense of, hey, things are different. Things are, hey, it's
they're very committed to the cause.
And I think it's, you know, it's a feeling out period for them. They want to see what the city's like, what everything is, and, you know, and they're experiencing the games to have input on what the stadium's going to look like too. So that's another thing of how everything's working at, you know, where are the VIP things, where are the, you know, this and that, and, you know, and so they're probably going to go to a lot more of these newer stadiums, I would think. you know, this year and next, so they can kind of get everything and kind of put together what they think that their stadium should be like.
Yeah, great points. I think we'll just leave it there. Follow Dispatch Alerts on Twitter. Our Facebook group, have Columbus Crew Facebook group as well. Post all the stuff in there. Trying to think of all the plugs we have. Just continue reading our content and looking at the photo galleries that the photo team puts up. It's really fantastic, and things that probably do the best on our site, or one of the best, certainly. Great Jackets coverage, too, throughout the whole playoffs. I think I should mention that. But we'll leave it there. Follow me at Jacob Meyer. _ Ooh, I got to make sure I get this right. Maybe I should change it. Jacob_Myers_25. I think it's about time maybe to change that. At the Podfather 2, and Kyle.
K-Rob Photo.
K-Rob Photo. Patrick, kick this out of here.